Philadelphia, woo! Philadelphia, woo! I'm gonna tear it up!
The Voice and Poncho Radio Show.
I got an open-ended ticket!
I hear it all the time. I'm buying it off. Why they talk? Don't even know what they want.
Marcus Mariota.
Welcome everybody to the Voice and Poncho Radio Show. This is episode 2 of the Rebirth. We're back on the mic, Poncho. We're here to talk to the fans. How you doing, brother?
Well, top of the morning to you, brother. It's St. Patrick's Day week, holiday week. Again, I had concern rolling up to the studio. You might be a little hungover, a little shaken from the holiday. I come in, you're pounding away on your shillelagh. But here we go. It's Rebirth Part 2, extended labor with the Voice of Poncho, and our broad breaking through the womb tools for all the fans.
Now, one thing I do not do is go out and drink on St. Patty's Day. I just kind of feel like that's when the rookies are out. Poncho, that's just not something I'm going to do. There's too many young drinkers out.
And that shows you as a novice in the game of playing the field, because everybody knows St. Patty's Day, what you have is drinking, sure. But you also have vixens, starlets, and beautiful green, short, tight, sausage-wrapped outfits, and that's when Poncho permeates through a bar or tavern.
So how'd it go? I know you told me you were out on St. Patty's Day. I tried to contact you to talk about some show stuff, and obviously, like always, you were not available.
Well, priorities, tools. A guy like me, a guy that seeds masculinity and physicality, has to first take care of the field before he focuses on the show. But I'm happy to be here, even though we had this onion snow today. Wasn't that your college nickname?
Snow basically is the last hurrah. It's just annoying. It's like, just get out of here. I'm ready for spring. I've had enough of this crap.
Let's hope, Tools. And let's warm it up on the show.
And I'm pretty sure everybody's sick of hearing about our lives. But you know what time of year it is, don't you, Poncho?
It's Bracket Mania, Poncho.
How's your bracket looking so far?
Well, the early diagnosis, Tools, is Poncho's 13 seed is wreaking havoc all over your girlfriend's bracket. But I've had a wondrous first 2 days of the tournament. It's my favorite time of the year. I get a little excited, Tools. I understand that. I get warm. I get heat in my loins with this tournament time, but already some upsets, Tools.
Yeah, I'll tell you, the Iowa State, I had them going to the Final Four. There's nothing more depressing than in the second game of the tournament, a team that you have in the Final Four loses. So I've like already given up on my bracket.
Yeah, and something similar happened to you a couple years ago too. You had a first day knockout.
Yeah, I can't remember what that was, but yeah.
Historically speaking, Tools, for me, usually the lower half, midsection of my bracket performs especially well. And I have one particular player going really deep for this year, but I won't give away my Final Four yet. I still feel that it's Kentucky's to lose, but I'll tell you what, it doesn't get much better than March Madness, especially, Tools, when you have standard definition television like myself.
It is depressing going over to your house and seeing the 4:3 aspect ratio in your TV. Wait, or do you stretch it? Do you try to fake people out that you have high def and stretch it?
Well, it is a bit rough when the upper left-hand score on the crawl is cut off by your screen. And usually the point guard, I can't see him until he gets close to the top of the
key. On your TV,
nothing happens out there anyway.
You have Victoria's Secret models looking like they weigh 150 pounds on your screen because you have it stretched out.
Hey, but all I can tell where the orange is, and I can watch the game. I'm not paying 20 extra a month, Pools.
Well, the VMP came up with a pretty good bracket this year, wouldn't you say? I mean, I'd say it was Hashtag VP Madness.
Yeah, I could tell you worked on that, Tools. But yeah, beautiful, genius idea. I'll give you all the credit in the world. You hatched it. It was your egg, and you came up with the sneaker bracket. I love the idea. I hate the choices. We left it up to the fans, Tools. We let the fans decide.
Well, let's be clear. You and I chose the 32 shoes, which we did have some fans questioning our choices on the shoes,
sure.
Which it wasn't easy. I mean, we had to come up with 32 classic sneakers. We put them in the typical bracket, exactly how you would see the field of 64, but we had 32 shoes.
The and field then we, of 30 shoes.
Is, 32. Is some,
yeah.
So then we put it out to the fans, and one thing about our rankings is three of the four number one seeds lost. I mean, that was surprising.
Well, you know what? You can blame that on our seeding all you want, but anybody that's going to come in my face and tell me the GD Sambas are going to beat the Pumps, the greatest, most iconic sneaker in the history of the land, needs their head checked and needs a 101 with this guy because I'll pummel him.
You were pretty depressed when your Pumps lost.
Yep.
But my favorite, I had the Jordan 4 Blacks. They got disrespected by the Stan Smiths. A lot of love from at Whistler Music for the Stan Smiths. I didn't think they had a chance to make it out of the first round.
A terrible call, Tools. That's another 8C we put it on as a joke. And here, what we thought were educated, knowledgeable fans coming up with these picks. But hey, all the way through, Tools, as the tournament progresses, VP Madness progresses, and the fans will decide.
Chuck Taylors didn't get any respect. I mean, Aptly Green, one of our followers, almost fell off his chair when he heard that the Fab Five Black lost. He's even calling out people. He's questioning at Press EJC on his selection. I mean, did at Press EJC have the right choice there? I mean, he took the Jordan 3 Whites.
Well, first of all, at Blee Green falls off his couch because he's had so much to drink, this pathetic Jersey boy. But personally, I'm not a fan of the Fab Five shoe. I like the Barkley Air Force 1 Black, but I think the Fab Five Black is just a little too plain for me.
Oh, okay. Well, do you have a favorite going forward?
At this point, I'm going anti-Jordan. I struggled with you, over having too many Jordans in the field.
You chose the Kangaroos?
Yeah, because I also think it's about shoes you would wear, yes, the styles you'd like, but it's also iconic, like the Shaqs, the Sean Kemp Raymans, the Pumps, the number one overall seed. It's about iconism, and I think some of our fans just went with what they would wear as opposed to classic shoes.
So who's your favorite?
Well, at this point, I'll tell you what, I almost have to go out there and say the Barclays. I love them. Yeah, they're classic, they're stylish, and you know what? When I see the Barclays, I see, hey, this gentleman here is packing something in his midsection parts. That's what I like about that shoe. Guy like me growing up, I wore whatever fit. I'm a 15 and a half.
My favorite going forward was the AI Question Whites. They're number one seed. I actually went on eBay this week and put a bid in on them, and it got $95. But I don't know. It's weird. It's not like it says make your best offer, and the guy rejected my offer. But whatever. I thought I was going to try to get a
pair. Screw him. Guy's an asshole.
Well, NFL free agency and the Eagles have definitely quieted down this week, but our Twitter feed was kind of alive. I mean, we had a little interaction with you and at Wiss Inc. Do you want to talk about that at all?
Sure, Tools. It's official. The restraining order has been filed with the judge. At Wiss Inc., here's talking to you, brother. You are now legally not allowed to be within 50 yards of the VMP's Twitter feed. So do whatever you do on your own. Take your psychotropic medication to calm you down. Because we can't have you on the feed spreading around your misknowledge.
Well, Atwis Inc. was a little disappointed in us because, or mainly in me, because I claim that there's no chance that Marcus Mariota is coming to the Eagles, and I feel that it's just a media-driven story. He does not believe that. He has facts to support it, and he articulated himself pretty well. So what I did was I found an audio clip this week. It's from Mike Missinelli, and he has a well-respected guy on that we met before at training camp, Adam Kaplan. And I'd just like to play this clip, and maybe we'll meet in the middle with it.
Yes. So, all right, let's look at now where they stand. The Bradford move, okay. Do you believe that Bradford, in conjunction with Murray, locks them into Sam Bradford? Are you holding out no more hope that Mariota will come here? And then I'll ask you about the latest rumor of the 19th pick with the 20th pick, which in value would get him the 6th, which would enable them to take Marcus Mariota.
Mike, I think it's highly unlikely, except this scenario. If Mariota drops like 10, 11, 12, that area, then I think You cannot rule out a trade up. But right now, the Eagles are going to go forward with Sam Bradford. That is their plan. I do believe, Chip, in that way. And he said it, and I think he was very clear, and he's right. They want to build this thing through the draft. They've invested heavily this time in free agency, probably a lot more than any of us expected to. And they want to go forward now and trying to build this team through the draft. And I believe what he said.
I believe what Chip said as well. I think the Eagles are going to try to save these draft picks to build. They don't even have a starting safety. They need a wide receiver. Their offensive line is not in tatters, but they need to make some upgrades on the guard positions. I just can't see it happening. But the way Adam Kaplan's talking, if Mariota falls, there's a chance. I don't believe it. Poncho, what do you think?
No, it's not going to happen. And I've always been against those. Let's wait and see on draft day how far he falls. Because I think at that point you scramble. You lose all your leverage when it's known that you want the guy and he falls. And everybody knows you want the guy. So they're going to clean you out for picks and players. I say we stay away from Mariota completely. I'd love if you're going to trade up six or seven spots and get one of the big three receivers, Kevin White, the kid from Adams from Louisville, Parker from Louisville, and, of course, Monty Cooper.
You're definitely thinking move up and get a wide receiver.
Yeah, I'm not saying move him to the top five. Move up if you can get to 13, 14, because I think one of those three guys will still be there.
Let's say White is on the board at 12 and Mariota is on the board at 12 and you move up to 12. Who would you take?
Well, Tools, I know you've been drinking because I know you're an alcoholic, but I know from a statement like that, you've certainly been drinking heavy because Mariota at 12. Give me a break.
All right.
Yeah, let's just get out of that.
Okay. One of the things Kelly always pushes is culture. Culture, culture. That's all you hear is how important culture is to Chip Kelly. He wants quality players around there. Stephen A. Smith has went as far to call him a racist, basically, because of the way he handles and gets rid of players. I totally disagree with that. But one thing about the Dallas Cowboys is their culture, they don't seem too worried about the character of their players. Do you know where I'm going at here, Poncho?
Tolls, half of Dallas Cowboys roster is out on work release. Let's be honest. It's just like it was, just like it's always been, a bunch of convicts on this team. But, personally, I think the culture is a big thing in Philly. Obviously, in Dallas, it's not. A bunch of losers down there.
Well, there's a gentleman whose name is Dale Henson. And he actually, I think, used to do the play-by-play for the Dallas. Whoa, careful with that high life. He used to do the play-by-play for the Cowboys. And he said some negative things about the Cowboys. So Jerry Jones had him fired. So now he, does a sports minute on the local station. But he did a takedown of the Cowboys on their signing of Hardy, who was charged with domestic violence.
Greg Hardy.
And when you hear the story of what he did to his woman, basically beating her, throwing her onto a bed full of guns, it's odd. But we're going to play a little clip here, and this gentleman, Dale Henson, breaks down the Cowboys.
Is there no line you won't cross? Is there no crime you won't accept? Is there no behavior you will not tolerate? The Cowboys have decided players who use illegal drugs can play. You drive drunk and kill a teammate, putting everyone on that highway at risk. There's a place on this team for you. You can rob a department store and play, and now you can beat a woman and play with a star on your helmet.
Sums it up. He's Last year, or was it 2 years ago, the gentleman, or I don't even want to call him, he drove drunk, he got in an accident, he wouldn't call the cops, the bystanders had to call the police, and then his friend died, and the next game he was on the sidelines.
Exactly, yeah, and Exhibit B tools Dez Bryant, number 88.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Guy tunes up his own mom. I mean, don't get me wrong, tools. I've had times where mom brings out the shepherd's pie, and I'm like, oh, you know what, I feel like getting a little physical, but who would ever lay hands on her mother? This guy's a joke. You know what I'd do to Dez Bryant, Tools?
What?
I'd encounter him, and it'd be quick.
Ew. Yeah. All right. That's probably about all the Eagles. I mean, it was so much in the past weeks. We'll see. There's probably a few more signings, maybe another trade, but the draft is going to be the next big thing for them.
Yeah. Let's move on to something we really like,
Well,
Tools.
We've had a segment on our show before. It's called Ask Poncho. We ask our listeners to, if you have any relationship questions, advice about women, you know, to send us an audio clip, or you can go on Twitter, you can use the 30-second video, you can send us that. So we had a one of our listeners, at Bleed Green, sent a question for Poncho. I'm going to play it for you right now, Poncho. I already listened to the clip, and he's kind of like asking, I guess his new girlfriend wants him to do something, and he's not sure if he should do it, okay? So I'm going to play it for you, and then you can answer.
Hi, yeah, Poncho. I need your advice here. I recently met a girl, and I'm really trying to impress her, and she wants me to do a duo, you know, a duo cooking class where the guy and the girl go to a cooking class and do it together and make things and throw flour in each other's faces and have a good old time. You know, to me, I just, you know, I'm all man, and I just don't think that I can go through with it. I mean, what type of all man would go through with a co-ed cooking class where we're throwing flour in each other's faces? I'm just having a tough time, and I'd like your advice. And, you know, what would you do? Let me know, buddy.
Well, Bleed Green, first of all, from the armpit of America, New Jersey, anything that would establish any more class with you, I would certainly advise. Secondly, we know there's no female in the picture. This is going to be a solo cooking class you're taking. But you know what I would do? You know what I would honestly do? I'd roll yourself down to McDonald's, see if you could pick up the fry cooker and a janitor, because that's all you're getting. You're a loser. 2 inches.
All right. Now, that's not how we like every Ask Poncho segment to go, but... So your advice to him is you would not do the cooking class, or you would do the cooking class?
I would do it, Tools. I've done one before. And you know what it ended
up
you've
with? Done a cooking?
I've
a
done
co-ed?
One before. And
oh,
you know
my
what?
Goodness.
You know what happened? When we got home, the oven was heated. Let's just put it that way, Tools. And I had a sausage to put on the table, and the meal was finished. Let's just say that.
Okay. So there you go. Ask Poncho next week if anybody wants to send.
Hey, great segment, brother. That was a great segment. Let's just make sure everybody gets to all our feet.
Who's the king of the demo?
We're on Twitter.
We're on Twitter at The Voice Poncho. We're on Facebook, Voice of Poncho Radio. Beautiful photos of us. And YouTube, Voice of Poncho Radio.
Yeah, I mean, just follow us so we can give you all the good stuff.
Speaking of Twitter,
are you ready for our segment?
Look at my Twitter.
60 Seconds with Molly. We were very, very disappointed last week.
Well, it's been an off week, Tools, and for Molly Sullivan. And there are weeks where I walk away from her feed. I'm stimulated. I'm eroticated. But this week, Tools, it was a little weak. You know, the usual sideline reporter shots. Nothing that really warmed me up especially. But we love Molly. We appreciate Molly Sullivan. And anytime she wants to come down to the studio, the voice would exit, and it would be a one-on-one exclusive between Poncho and her. Molly, Molly,
Molly. Okay, now's our little Twitter segment here, Poncho, where we recommend a follow of the week. Not many of our listeners would know, but we have one thing in common, and it would be Guess Jeans. Guess Jeans. Not too many people would know that. But following up on that, my follow of the week. At CHAR_MCK. She is the new guest model. And Poncho, this is all I have to say.
I'm a tit man. I like big ass boobs.
She is put together, guys or girls. Follow her.
Tools, I'm a Kate Upton fan. I won't deny that. But this woman here.
Oh, you're
here,
a Kate Upton fan. She's a little heavy. This girl's not as heavy as Kate Upton.
Can I finish my point, Tools? This woman here is Kate Upton, the voluptuousness, the buxom, with a slimmer waistline. She's gorgeous. She's beautiful, Tools. I'd love to show her my husk. But let me tell you something. I gotta follow if you want it. It's more comedic than anything. It's at Black Barber Cuts. What it is basically it's we love all races. Yeah. You know, it's African American gentlemen usually that have gotten really odd haircut.
A transcend race, hombre.
Exactly. We do. And what it is at Black Barber Cuts, it's just great pictures of interesting haircuts. You usually work with, what is that, the gel dumpling? I don't even know what you call that. And then don't ever come over to my pad again with that reverse ponytail or whatever the hell you were working with. Don't ever bring that to the Thunderdome.
Okay, now we're going to talk a little Phillies. I know...
A little.
I know nobody wants to talk about them, but they are still relevant in Philadelphia. And last week, I gave Ruben Amaro some advice, so here it is real quick.
Ruben!
Ruben Amaro, get with it. It's over. Cliff Lee is done. He's never going to pitch again. Okay, Cliff Lee's done. What happened this week, Pancho? What happened? Ruben Amaro forces Cliff Lee to come out and do a little press conference. Here's a clip from it.
This is a big blow to us, and you know, it's unfortunate we're not going to be able to have Cliff at the outset of the season, clearly, but I think after speaking with Cliff and his representatives and discussing this mutually, I think you know, we've come to come to the thought process that we're going to try to rehab him again.
Here we go. Hey, rehab him again. Why will Amaro not admit it's done? It's over.
Oh, this fool, Ruben Retardo Jr. You know, I'd love to get in a war room with him, take him one-on-one, and then I'll tell you what, I'd be making the decisions at the end of it. No kidding, Cliff Lee's done, brother. It's going to be a long season, Tools. But, you know, thank God for sundresses and cheek shorts, because I'm looking forward to summer like never before, brother.
So today I was listening to Howard Eskin. He was filling in for Angelo Gattaldi on the morning show. And he's got Mike Schmidt down from spring training, and he's going to ask some questions to Mike Schmidt. The first thing he does is he asks him about Ryan Howard. This is the gentleman that we gave $150 million to. I think we're still on the hook, as in the Phillies, for 60-some million. And here's Schmidt's take on Howard.
Howard, Ryan's never going to be Keith Hernandez. No, he's never going to be Tommy Hutton. Back in the old days, Tommy was known for great defensive play at first base. And Ryan works every day. He's been working very hard on footwork.
Pancho, I think he's 34 years old, and they're still working on his footwork. He's getting $25 million a year. It's just like, give up.
On confidence defensively, yeah. I mean, you know, he threw that ball away the other day, but he's also made five or six really, really great plays at first base this spring as well. Ryan is an adequate first baseman.
What do you take out of that clip?
Oh, Tools, I take that it's going to be a long GD season. Give me a break. Ryan Howard, okay, we got an adequate first baseman.
An adequate $25 million a year first baseman. Yeah. Oh, okay, so then Howard Eskin puts poor Mike Schmidt in the position where he says, tell me about the positive things that are going to on at Philly spring training. There is nothing positive. This is the most depressing situation ever. I feel it is similar to someone who the Phillies, they had all the money in the world. There's no salary cap in baseball. Basically, they won the lottery and went bankrupt. So here's Mike Schmidt trying to explain some of the positive things going down in Philly.
Give me something positive for these fans about the Phillies coming out of spring training.
All right. Let's see. Let's start on the pitching side. Papelbon looks fantastic. Aaron Harang, second time out, pitched three or four solid innings last night. Looked really good. Got a young man named Bogusevich that has a chance to make the team. Let's see, what else?
Poor Mike Schmidt. He's just searching there.
What was it? Bogusevich? Was that a deli meat? What the
hell
is that?
I don't know.
It's going to be a long season, brother. And Mike Schmidt, poor Mike Schmidt is right. Let's get him back in the laces and the jersey, because we need something more.
All right, now it's time for the Flavor Flub. This is our favorite section, Poncho.
Well, not ours, Tools. On a fan's favorite section, because what happens is we peak as men. We emasculate ourselves for Flavor in the Flub. And the Flavor of the Week, this week is obvious. It's clear. It's crystal clear. It's never been more clear. It's Poncho. And,
Poncho?
Yeah, Poncho, well, Flavor of the Week.
Wait, that's your flavor.
My Flavor of the Week is Poncho. Exactly. Who's yours?
My Flavor of the Week is Connor Barwin. I'm not sure if you guys read this, but the Eagles did something that rarely happens in the NFL. They gave Barwin a raise. And I think it has to do with, yes, he had an excellent, excellent season last year, 14 and a half sacks. But if you look at Barwin off the field, I mean, he is really a good guy. He has an organization called Make the World Better. And what he's doing with this organization is he's raising funds for a basketball court at the Ralph Brooks Park. I just think he's a really good guy. He has like his concert where he raises money, and just a little tidbit for you. One of the bands he has there is The District. the district, who is from the 717, Pancho. So my flavor of the week, Connor Barwin.
Good call. Good call, Tools. It reminds me, what was that high school band you were in? It was a Jim Morrison cover band, The Back Doors, I think it was. But yeah, great, great flavor. My flub of the week, Jim Boeheim, Syracuse quote-unquote coach.
Good one, good one.
I love this guy, how he takes no responsibility for having a dirty-ass program, sort of like your shorts, for the last 15 years, and he comes out and tries to blast the NCAA, which has its faults. But how are you to coach the runner, the ruler of an of a program, and then say you knew nothing about it? You know, this guy knew everything that was going on, Tools. It's like me. You come into my crib, my Thunderdome. I run a roost. I know everything that's going on in that house. And for him to come out and say the NCAA was wrong, he had no knowledge of it, well, I don't buy it. Flub of the week.
My flub of the week is Jason Garrett. I'm going to give you a quick little clip here. This is the same gentleman that took down the Cowboys on the other thing. I mean, he'll explain it really well.
Cowboys coach Jason Garrett has been exposed. He's one of two things. He's either a fraud and hypocrite when he talks about having the right type of guys, character guys on his team, or he really has no say in this and he's simply the puppet so many of you think he is. It's one or the other, and I'll let him decide. It was Garrett's dad, Jim, a former Cowboy scout, who famously said, "This isn't the Boy Scouts. This is professional football." Well, it's not Carolina football, Jim. They let Hardy go. The team that knows him best didn't want him anymore. But it is your son's professional football. It's the Cowboys' way now. You taught him well, Jim. You taught him well.
Boy, that's kind of... That kind of...
Says it all there.
I mean, the Cowboys... Good luck. We better beat him. I mean, I'm just so disgusted with him.
Something just occurred to me, Tools. This is a wonderful show. This is the Rebirth Part 2, Tools, the extended labor version. And good God, are we gorgeous or what? I know you have a lot of work to do. You were plowed in this morning, so you better dig out a little bit, brother. But hell, what a hell of a job we're doing here. And fans, we appreciate you. Everybody at KennyM61. At Birdo, we love all you guys, and stick with us, Tools.
Yep, well, I want to thank everybody for listening this week. Get at us, send us some tweets, keep following VIP VP Madness.
Send pics of your girlfriend if you have time.
Yeah, we would love some pics of your girlfriend. Have a good week.
You little stupid ass bitch, I ain't fucking with you. You little dumb ass bitch, I ain't fucking with you.